The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. Luke writes, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, as Elizabeth's time to give birth was drawing near, young Mary went to stay at her house, most likely to offer her assistance with her newborn. This would have been a common thing for the family to do for one another, and yet both women would have benefited greatly from this extended visit, 3 months. For Elizabeth, Mary would be able to help her with her daily chores. She was younger and likely more agile and strong. But for Mary, Elizabeth offered comfort in the face of certain social criticism that would have occurred if neighbors noticed her condition. As the two women met, the Holy Spirit was moving, and Elizabeth made a confession of faith about the baby that Mary carried. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sounds of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Luke 1, 42 through 45. You see, Elizabeth, she believed Mary's story. And this would have been a great comfort to the young, soon-to-be mother. The reformer, Martin Luther, made this proclamation about Mary. "The tender mother of Christ teaches us, with her words and by her example of her experience, how to know, how to love, and how to praise God. For myself, I've always been amazed with Mary. Not in the sense of worshiping her, no, but in the sense of taking her lead, what she witnesses to for us. I think that's why St. Luke tells us so much about Mary, because there is a good example, good leadership for us who worship Jesus, the Messiah. Mary, she must have asked several questions about this calling placed on her life. I can hear Mary asking, "How did all this come to be? Will I say yes? Will I say yes to this high calling to bear the Son of God when it's all rather scary?" And this is the part of the Christmas dilemma that we have been pondering this Advent season. You see, we live in two stories: the Christ child with Mother Mary story, and the alternative one that the world tells us. You know the one with the man and the reindeer. it's hard for us to figure out how to listen to this biblical story the most in a culture that is replacing it and overpowering it. Sadly, people, well, they take offense, not at the man with the reindeer, but with Mary and her child. I know people who genuinely want the values and the practices of this Christian faith. Like, honestly, just rule of law, faithfulness in marriage, work ethic, care for this planet, spiritual disciplines, and the like. But without the faith from which these values come. People want the values without the faith. They want the Christmas without the religion, the good life, without the gospel movement of repentance and confession of this faith. And if I'm honest, this includes many Western Christians who may have lost what we actually do have. You see, it's more natural for us to be our own truth and control our own lives. Well, at least kidding ourselves of that. Without the living Spirit breathing his living word, which creates living faith in Jesus, in people, these values eventually, well, they wither and they die. And this is because we naturally pull away from the truth and deceive ourselves into being our own truth. This past week, I read an article as I was researching and reflecting on the texts. An article writer was Greg Sheridan, and he wrote this. The starting point is belief. Once the ineffable mystery of Christmas was embraced by our culture, the tinsel served the truth. The truth cannot be reshaped merely to serve the tinsel. So Christmas, it raises this question for us. Will we let our hearts go to this biblical story of our real God, the real person, true man in action in our world and in our lives since the world began, since the first Christmas and every Christmas since? Will we say yes to his word, his promises, his presence, his claims, and his call to repent and believe and love as easily as we say yes to the gifts and the trees and the bright lights of this society celebration? If we say yes to this good calling in this child, this God calling it is, it may be a yes filled with much anxiety, the same as it was for Mary. She said yes, sensing that saying yes to God's invitation to be involved personally in his saving work in his broken world would probably mean many more yeses for the rest of her life. Even more, Mary perhaps sensed that this child himself will have many more and difficult yeses to say himself before his life would be complete on the cross. This yes to the call of the Christ child to repent and to believe in his gift of hope and life, well, it is scary. And that's because it is impossible for us. You see, I know that I am not enough to keep saying yes to his calling and his work in my life. I know that I do not know enough. I see that I cannot see enough. I hear that I cannot hear him all of the time. And I believe that I live with unbelief. I trust that only he can make his kingdom come in me and in his world. Dear Lord, I want to see, I want to hear, I want to have dreams of the good life, a better world in which children can flourish and children can love unconditionally. But how? And by whose power, whose authority, and whose promise? Mary, she had a dilemma too. And she had many dreams. Mary, she dreamt for this boy that she loves. She knew that her single yes to bear him for the world would require much from that day forward. She knew that he himself would be required to say yes to things too difficult and too dark for all of us. And that's the same for you and me, who give our heart to this biblical witness, to God's coming. I sense that we will all have many yeses to speak as the long road of this life continues, if we are to be found in Jesus when he comes again. Advent. Advent says that we are called to say yes to the impossible news. God in a human frame and flesh saying yes may fill us with anxiety as well, because we know it's not a one-time yes for us. It is a lifelong relationship that requires much, even if it is the best news and the best life that we could ever receive. And the reward for this yes to Jesus, to the Christ child, and his calling at Christmas, well, it's pure joy that we will find comfort in him. Behold, the comfort of your Savior is near. Watch for him and be prepared. Mary, when she heard this, she sang her delight at this yes that she said. Mary called out, inviting us to join her in singing and saying yes to this Advent King, coming to change the game of life, shifting the goalposts of success, and swinging things in favor of his story, his justice, his peace, his gracious love of every sinner in this world. Mary's song, the Magnificat, as a confession of her faith. Listen to these words to which she proclaimed so beautifully. And these are the remainder of our prescribed gospel texts for today, which I omitted earlier so that you could hear them now in the context of the sermon. Mary sang, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble state of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." Dear Mary, truly you are blessed among women, and blessed is the child you bear. Dear saints, blessed are you, woman, man, and child of faith in Jesus our Advent King. He has favored us in his baptismal font, in his cross-shaped sign of forgiveness, in his body and blood, in his church, in the gifts of his Spirit, and in his giving to you this calling to bear the Son of God in your body, in your mind, and in your spirit. Behold, he is making his promises to you again today. And he will make his promises to you tomorrow and the day after and the day after that. He will stun you with his commitment and the love again and again until his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, God, speed. Dear saints, I ask you this evening to say yes. Say yes and keep on saying yes. It is our delight to do so. It is our joy. It is our heart story and our light for the journey to come. All for the sake of his righteousness given for you. Now may this give you peace. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. May it guard our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.